Good evening, everybody. I thought, for the benefit of new members of the committee, just to start, I thought we would go around the table and just introduce ourselves, and then we'll know everyone who is here. So I am Councillor Julie Killoran, and the chair of the committee. Yeah, we can go that way around. Thank you.
I'm Graham Goodall, the independent person.
Good evening. I'm Councillor Denise Florence Jukes.
Evening. I'm Councillor Chris Sylvester.
Good evening. I'm Councillor Mike Metcalf.
I'm Dennis Fletcher. I'm a councillor, a borough councillor for Winsell.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Waleed Kunebi. I'm parish councillor, Brisbane Road. And I'm.
Good evening. I'm Alison Trenery. I'm a town councillor from Uttoxeter Town Council, and I'm a parish councillor.
My name is Leila Zalampour of Edwards Duffy Shamash Solicitors. I'm here tonight on behalf of Councillor Hussain.
I'm Frances Randall. I'm a solicitor also representing Councillor. Leila will be doing the presentation today.
Evening. I'm Saeed Hussain, Councillor for Anglesey Ward.
Wayne Beglin, Barrister, Investigating Officer.
I'm Monica Hedgecliffe, the committee clerk.
Good evening, I'm Angela Wakefield. I'm the monitoring officer and the solicitor to the council.
Thank you. So we'll move on quickly through. Do we have any apologies for absence?
No apologies, Chair.
Does anybody have any declaration of interest? No. For those that were present at the last meeting, just need to verify the minutes. Can I have a proposer, please, that they're correct? Thank you to Councillor Florence Jukes. And can we vote? They're correct and carried? Thank you. They're carried. So, thank you. Is there any urgent business? None. In that case, then, we will proceed, and I would like to invite the investigating officer, please, Mr. Beglin, to briefly describe the essence of the complaint.
Thank you, Chair. If I can do that by reference to the final version of the written report that members of the committee will have seen and had a chance to digest. Just to summarise briefly the procedure that I set out in the first section of that report, the members of the committee will have seen that the final report was prepared having regard to some detailed submissions that were made on behalf of Councillor Hussain. I took those submissions into account, and the form of my report, as members will have seen, was to structure it substantially as the draft report had been, so that you can see, as it were, what was before the solicitors and the councillor for them to comment upon. And then what I've endeavoured to do is address what appear to be, to me, to be the main issues arising from those representations within footnotes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, could I just interject? We seem to have skipped a stage in the hearing procedures, which is dealing with the preliminary matters.
Chair, there are no preliminary matters, so you're
we don't have any preliminary matters.
So, under paragraph 6.2, it gives the option for the legal advisor to seek to resolve any preliminary issues, which suggests that it goes to each representative present to comment on whether there are any issues.
There are no preliminary issues to be dealt with this evening.
We have some issues that we'd like to raise on a preliminary. Before we go into the substance of the allegations.
You'll have your opportunity to present your case at the relevant point in the procedure. At this point in the meeting, it's for the investigating officer to outline the essence of the complaint.
given that the
yes, this is not a debate. This part of the meeting is for the investigating officer to outline the complaint, and you will have your opportunity to present your case on behalf of Councillor Hussain at the relevant point in the meeting.
So could you confirm then why paragraph 6.2 says you will seek?
Could you adjourn the meeting at this point, Chair, please?
Yes, okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Carry on. Mr. Beckham,
if I could just say that Miss Wakefield has suggested that I cause some disrespect to the committee by raising the fact that we do have some preliminary issues that we'd like to discuss. There's no disrespect intended to the committee at all. It's just that we have several issues that we've considering how this matter's been dealt with procedurally that don't necessarily go to the substance of the allegations, and therefore we thought it was appropriate, given that there is a section called preliminary matters, that we bring it up now rather than kind of confuse it by bringing it into discussion of the substance of the allegations. I'm kind of at a loss as to why I can't discuss that now, and instead I have to wait until it's our turn to speak when we talk about the substance of the allegations. And as I say, the procedures are very clear in saying there's the option to resolve any preliminary issues. We have preliminary issues. We've raised them with Ms. Wakefield prior to this hearing. If now is not the time to discuss it, then I will happily wait until we discuss the substance of the allegations. But I think that this is an issue that the procedures say very clearly there is a stage for discussing preliminary issues. Ms. Wakefield may not have any preliminary issues. We've raised the point that we have preliminary issues that we want to discuss. And, you know, we would hope that we would have the opportunity to discuss that now.
Well, you will have your opportunity later, so we will hear it then. And so I'd prefer to carry on.
Could I just ask Ms. Wakefield to confirm what she did as a preliminary issue? What is the definition of a preliminary issue?
I've already explained to you that I'm not going to get into a debate with you and on this meeting. Mr. Beglin is now going to describe the essence of the complaint.
Respectfully, I wasn't interrupting the chairman, and I was simply asking, you said that there are no preliminary issues.
Well, you've asked your question and we've now answered it, and if you would please wait until it's your turn to speak, that would be great. Thank you.
I'd like to know that you didn't answer the question, Ms. Wakefield, but as I said, I'll put that when it's our turn to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As I was outlining in section one of my report, and it may be worth members casting their eye back over this if there are going to be complaints later about procedure, because that's where I really sketch out the procedure that I followed in the completion, first of all, of the draft report and then dealing with the final report. And as I have made clear, my task as the investigator officer is not to reach final conclusions on these matters, but to determine in accordance with the procedure whether or not there is evidence of a failure to comply with the code in relation to the complaints that have been made. And I have found that there is. I have made those findings, it's important for everyone in the room to understand, on the balance of probabilities, which is a conventional test to apply to the consideration of evidence in this context. And part and parcel of the investigation was where I thought, as I did think on a number of occasions, that there were some very real difficulties in trying to reconcile what I was being told by other witnesses to the report on the one hand and the counsellor on the other hand. I put those matters to him in interview so that he could give me his answer. There are essentially four complaints against the counsellor. The first is that he was in dereliction of his duties as a council-appointed member of the board of the Queen Street Community Centre, the Neighbourhood Resource Centre, by attending only 4 of 16 possible meetings of the board over the period of 2017 to 2018. And for the reasons I describe in that section of my report, which really starts at page 4 and carries on thereafter, it didn't appear to me that the councillor had given any sufficient explanation as to why he had only attended 4 of those meetings. You have, I think, the guidance that he signed up to in terms of discharging his duties as a director of that board. And whilst I don't invite any members of the committee to turn that material up at this stage, it's probably worth recording that there are requirements there for those who are directors of the organisation to champion the organisation and the kinds of usual obligations that you'd expect to see in terms of acting in the best interest of that organisation, as well as submitting to appropriate scrutiny. They are all express requirements within that documentation. And so in the absence of any sufficient explanation for why the council had only attended 4 of those 16 meetings, which were where the decisions of the organisation were plainly going to be made, it seemed to me that that risked bringing the council into disrepute, because this was an appointment that was made on behalf of the council. So that is the essence of the first complaint. The essence of the second complaint relates to the councillor's failure to engage with the complaints process operated by the Queen Street Community Centre, and in particular that he failed to engage with that complaints process in relation to an allegation that he had caused or facilitated the diversion of a business opportunity from one community centre to a potentially competing community centre at Uxbridge Street. And again, for the reasons that I set out in my report, I was satisfied, firstly, that there was evidence of a failure to comply with the complaints process, which does seem to me to be a separate allegation to whether or not the allegation about diversion of business is made good. Whether or not that allegation is made good, there is a separate concern, certainly that I articulated, about a failure to engage with the complaints process per se. And it seems to me that on a straightforward application of the Nolan principles, it is important that those in public office submit themselves to scrutiny when they take on important decision-making roles, whether or not they have expressly agreed in writing to do so. But as we know, in this case, the councillor did expressly agree in writing to submit himself to that kind of consideration. Now, in relation to the diversion of business itself, I have discussed that in some detail in the following paragraphs of my report, but the essence of it is that there was an organisation that was seeking space from which to run its enterprise, and it was looking at potentially taking space at a number of premises within the local authority, and 2 of those were the respective community centres. And it appears from the evidence that was provided to me that the councillor sought to persuade that organisation that they should operate from Uxbridge Street rather than from Queen Street. And he did that both by suggesting to the organisation that Queen Street wouldn't be the right place for them, and also by suggesting to Queen Street that the organisation wouldn't be a good fit for Queen Street either. So the allegations appear to have been made to both bodies, as I've described in my report. So that's the essence of the second head of complaint. The essence of the third head of complaint relates to an allegation of the councillor acting inappropriately in the use of the Queen Street Community Centre resources and towards Mr. Adkin, who was an employee of Queen Street Community Centre. And again, I've set out in detail the basis for that allegation, and you have in the pack before you, as well as the original complaint, what appeared to me to be detailed responses to later questions I asked, prepared by both Mr. Warner and Mr. Adkins. And on the basis of that information, which it was simply not possible to reconcile with what the councillor told me during interview, it appeared to me that there had been a significant use of the Queen Street Community Centre resources in a way that was not consistent with the duties that the councillor had signed up to in relation to championing that institution and only using its resources for appropriate purposes. So that's the essence of the third allegation. And then lastly, we have related to that further instances of what appeared to be the councillor suggesting to Mr. Adkins that he had information about some serious activities that it was alleged Mr. Adkins might have been involved in. And that, together with certain other things that the councillor said to Mr. Adkins, as described in my report, lead to there being evidence that, in fact, one of the things the councillor was doing was applying inappropriate pressure to someone who was an employee of the Queen Street Community Centre by suggesting that he had information which, if disclosed, would not be favourable to Mr. Adkins, and which he was potentially able to disclose if the circumstances were such that he thought it was appropriate to do so. It seemed to me that the sequence of events that Mr. Adkins has related in that respect was, again, plainly inconsistent with the councillor discharging his duties, both as an elected councillor and in relation to the office that he held at the Queen Street Community Centre. So that is the essence of the allegations, and as I say, on the balance of probabilities, I decided that each of those allegations was made good, that there was evidence of each of those allegations. And I did later on in my report, because there was such a stark conflict in some of the evidence, I did take the time to set out the basis of the reasons why, where there was a conflict, I ultimately preferred the narrative and account that was being given by Mr. Warner and Mr. Adkins.
Thank you. Do you have any witnesses you wish to call, Mr. Berglund?
Chair, my approach to this is that the report, together with the other material that's in your pack, is detailed. It speaks for itself. I note that the rules only require me to call witnesses that are necessary, as it were, to deal with those matters. I take the view it's in sufficient detail in the writing in front of you. Having said that, as I understand it, Mr. Warner is here, and Mr. Adkins, I think, is also here. And as I understand it, they are prepared to submit themselves to any questions being asked. So if the councillor, as it were, wants to respond and advance a positive case that some part of what the report contains or what Mr. Adkins has said is factually incorrect, then they have the opportunity to do that by directly cross-questioning the witnesses.
Would any of the committee members like to ask Mr. Badlin any questions? Councillor Florence Dukes.
Chair, I've got a number of questions, so I don't know how you'd like me to ask them individually and then get an answer or all in one go.
Individually?
Yeah, okay. Mr. Bigan, can I ask you when you were first instructed on this case, please? Can I ask your interview with Councillor Hussein on the 13th of February, how was that recorded? Was that tape recorded or was that notes taken? Okay, thank you. And I notice the burden of proof here is a balance of probabilities. If you can just explain briefly what you mean by a balance of probabilities as opposed to beyond reasonable doubt.
I assume I can be heard, but it may be easier with the microphone on. So depending on the forum in which a question arises, different standards of proof are sometimes used. One standard of proof that's used, and it's used in civil proceedings up and down the country, is the balance of probabilities. So when a judge in a civil case decides any particular question that's in front of them, they don't try and satisfy themselves so that they're sure. They don't use the other standard that we're all familiar with that applies in the criminal context. They simply ask themselves, is something more likely than not to to have happened? Is one version of events more likely than not to be the accurate one? So I have not endeavoured to answer any of these questions by reference to whether or not I am satisfied so that I'm sure. It is clear to me that for the purposes of my investigation, and indeed for the purposes of this committee's deliberations, it is sufficient to apply the normal civil standard of proof. Otherwise, this committee would be requiring itself to apply a stricter standard that would apply, for example, in front of a judge dealing with a multi-million commercial claim.
During your interview with Councillor Hussein on the 13th February, did he indicate that there were potential witnesses? Because I know in your report you've taken the decision not to interview any potential witnesses. How did you come about that conclusion?
Yes, he did. He suggested the two witnesses who I think are here this evening. What he didn't do in the course of the interview with me was to identify with any specificity or precision precisely which issues it was that those individuals were going to be able to address. And I think it's a fair observation, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but in the very detailed representations that have been made on the councillor's behalf, that has still not been done. And in particular, it would have been open to those representing the councillor, potentially be open to them this evening, depending on what view the committee takes about the use of procedure. But it would have been open to them, certainly when the draft report was prepared, for there to have been some witness statement or something from any of those witnesses, which I could have then taken into account in finalising my report. That didn't arrive. I have to decide, and it's a matter of judgment, first of all, for me and now for the committee, what is a proportioned evidence base to work with, and that depends on what you're told by all of the parties. And if there's a suggestion that other witnesses might be able to assist, what role it's being said that they would be capable of assisting with. As I say, as at the date that I came to finalise my report, it wasn't clear to me on what basis it was being said that these individuals could specifically help with the factual allegations that form the foundation of four grounds of complaint that were addressed to me.
Point 46 of your report, it makes mention of Mr. Adkins saying that he estimates that potential printing costs were about £1,000.
Yes.
Did you find any evidence, I'm thinking more of an audit trail that exists within the community centre, say there was a spike of printing costs perhaps during that time?
That's a matter going to the proportionality of the evidence base, and the answer is no, I didn't. I didn't think that was necessary to deal with what was a clear issue, as it seemed to me, as to whether or not on the councillor's account these printing services were used six or seven times over the course of a 2 to 3 year period, or so that it was essentially trivial in extent. That was the case that he put to me in interview. It wasn't that there was some greater level that was still explicable, but by other means, and therefore it was necessary to conduct some sort of detailed audit. His case was, my use of these facilities was trivial. And Mr. Adkins' case is simply at the other end of that spectrum. It is that these facilities were being used on a week-to-week basis, sometimes more intensively than that, and that on occasions there was some very significant copying being done. So in those circumstances, it didn't seem to me that it was a proportionate use of anyone's resources, because at the end of the day, it's the council's resources, for me to conduct a detailed audit. It was open, or on the other side of the coin, it was open to the councillor to have produced receipts for six or seven occasions where he said that he had used those facilities. By the receipt of that's why it's one of the examples where hopefully the receipt of the draft report is helpful, because the draft report contains that level of detail about what the respective cases are. And so at that stage, if the councillor wants to revert in detail and say, well, look, what Mr. Adkins is saying is obviously not true, here are the receipts, please conduct some sort of audit, then that might be a different kettle of fish. But here, the parties were so far apart. And this was only one of the things. I think it's important, although the nature of this exercise is that you do have to look at the allegations individually, when you come back and consider the case at the end of it, it is important to take into account that I didn't base my findings on the credibility of the respective witnesses on one isolated statement or occurrence. I tried to stand back and look at the whole picture, because there were just a number of occasions where the account that I was given by Mr. Adkins and Mr. Waller couldn't stack up with what the councillor was saying. So I looked at all of those in the round to try and work out whose account on the balance of probabilities I ought to prefer.
Can I ask about the I'm asking, are they contemporaneous, the notes that you relied upon from Mr. Warner and Mr. Adkins, did you establish when they were made? Because they're very accurate. Were they made near or soon after these events?
That's certainly my understanding of the notes, as it occurs mostly from the notes themselves, where they do either bear a date or they have manuscript on them saying when they were made, and also from what Mr. Warner told me. So I have no reason to think, and it depends where you go with this sort of suggestion, but presumably the suggestion is either that these were contemporaneous notes, or these are notes that have simply been put together much later with a view to fulfilling a particular objective. Whenever an investigating officer considers complaints of this nature, we always have in mind that there can be a number of motivations for things being said. When I looked at all of the evidence in the round, it did not appear to me that there was any real basis for questioning the fact that these notes were apparently contemporaneous. You can dispute, even if it's a contemporaneous record, you can say, well, it's not accurate, and there are good reasons why you should discount it. What I say in my report is that it seemed to me one important feature of the evidence, not the only one, but one important feature, that there were apparently some clear and detailed contemporaneous notes on one side of this debate and none on the other side.
Where are these notes now?
The notes should be in your pack.
And then finally, I note in your report there's a lot of conjecture, a lot of your opinion. Is that normal? Is it not more usual or typical to stick to a fact-based report? There's a lot of conjecture in there of what you perceive as what's happened.
Would you like to give me a specific example and I can
address it further? The report's actually littered with a lot of your opinions. I'm just wondering.
Take one or two or three examples and I'll try and deal with them as well as I can.
Has anyone else got a question in the meantime? Councillor Fletcher?
No, I haven't got any questions to ask of the barrister, but will we have an opportunity to question Councillor Hussain and Mr. Warner and Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
At some point in the future, thank you.
Yes, Councillor Trenary.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Mr. Beglin in relation to the first complaint about the Councillor Hussain attending 4 out of 16 possible meetings, which you describe in terms of being a dereliction of duties and potentially bringing the council into disrepute. Now, in my fairly extensive experience of sort of councils and outside organisations, that level of attendance by council representatives is not uncommon. It's fairly frequent that people cannot get to meetings regularly, that they're sending apologies, they're only attending a minority of meetings, and I've never heard of anybody being subject to a complaint on those grounds, or indeed having been accused of bringing the council into disrepute. So I just wondered what your evidence base was that level of attendance was so serious as to constitute the dereliction of duty and bring the council into disrepute.
Yes, I think the circumstances here need to be considered carefully, and this was a situation where there were three council appointments to a particular decision-making body, and it was part of the structure of that body, and so all of the individuals who were part of the decision-making process would have known that it was essential for at least one council-nominated individual to be there on each occasion so the entity could actually transact its business. It wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And so seems to me that this is a different position from what you might think a normal licensing committee or a planning committee or something of that nature. The circumstances here are different. The council makes a specific appointment of three councillors to this body. At least one of them needs to be there. And it seems to me that in those circumstances, if the body is not able to make decisions, and we know on the evidence that was available to me that that was the case on a few occasions, and the reason that it's not able to make decisions is because there isn't a council-appointed representative there, then that does strike me as something that potentially brings the council into difficulties, because a community organisation that is meant to be making its decisions and serving the local population is being prevented or at least delayed in its decision making by that absence. And so I wouldn't say that the position is exactly the same as you might find for other council committees, but in any event we may have a difference of view about whether or not coming to four meetings over a course of 2 years and leaving two of them early represents a sufficient discharge of those duties.
Okay, have you got Councillor Flight-Stewart?
Sorry, I'm busy trying to get through these 19 pages. Just at section 50, point 50, where you make mention of 50, 50. Sorry, I'm just trying to find it now. Yeah, it's basically where you say you prefer Mr. Adkins' version of events. I find that a strange thing to say in what I would perceive to be a factual report. You prefer that. That's surely conjecture. It's your opinion.
No, respectfully, it's not conjecture. It's my determination on the basis of the evidence that is before me. Now, when anyone is charged with conducting an investigation or deciding a question, as the committee will have to do this evening, then sometimes you will have situations where the recollections of parties are different, but they're not so different that you can't square them all together and say, well, but perhaps this is the answer and there's a sort of narrative that makes them all fit. Then there are other kinds of cases where what you're being told by one party and what you're being told by another party, it simply can't both be factually accurate, or where that's unlikely on the balance of probabilities to be the case, because there's just too much clear blue water between them. Where that kind of situation arises, then in order for me to decide whether or not there is evidence of a breach of the code, I need to try and resolve that issue, and the committee tonight will have to resolve that issue, as it seems to me. And so it was necessary, as part of my exercise, to try and work out which of those different accounts I thought was most likely to be the accurate one. And that's what I've done. And I didn't want to leave the committee, therefore, with just the bald statement, as it were, that I've looked at all of this and I prefer one witness over another. And that's why, in paragraph 50, I sought to draw out what appeared to me to be the most, in my judgment, and of course other people reach different judgments about this, but what seemed to me, in my judgment, to be the most important features of doing that comparative exercise between the witnesses. But it was necessary in order for me to reach conclusions on this matter.
One final question then, please. It's in the summary, in the conclusion about bringing the council into disrepute and the risk of bringing the council into disrepute. I just wonder if you can explain what the difference is, because you've said there's a risk of bringing the council into disrepute, not that Councillor Hussain did bring the council into disrepute.
Yes, well, it goes back to the exercise that I have to undertake, which is to decide if there's evidence of a breach of the code. And so I think there is sufficient evidence to demonstrate that there is a risk of disrepute to the council here. It will be for the committee to ultimately determine whether or not, if it accepts the factual analysis that I presented, and whether or not it follows from that these things did or risked bringing the council into disrepute.
So just to clarify, it's the risk of bringing the council into disrepute.
Purposes of my investigation, I have looked at whether or not there's a risk of the council being brought into disrepute. Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Fletcher, if you would like to ask Mr. Warner or Mr. Atkins any questions. Very well. So, thank you, Mr. Beglin. Now we move on to the councillor's case.
Thank you, Chair. Just as an initial point, I want to just respond to Mr. Beglin saying that in our detailed response to the draft report, we didn't refer to the relevance of calling Councillor Walker or Tariq Hussain as witnesses during the course of his investigation. If in response to his section B, I think throughout the letter, it is quite a detailed letter, and I do apologise. I know it makes a heavy reading, but when we comment on section B, we very clearly identify that Tariq Hussain was present during the meeting with FAMS at Uxbridge Street Community Centre, and that formed the basis of FAMS' complaint about Councillor Hussain's behaviour to the Queen Street, and therefore is part of these allegations. I don't really think it needs to be spelled out that Tariq Hussain is potentially a relevant witness. But we do actually say throughout the letter, we note that Tariq Hussain was not called. He's referred to in the report several times as a person of interest. Councillor Hussain put him forward as a witness and offered him as a witness, and we consider it was entirely reasonable for Mr. Beglin to have interviewed Tariq Hussain in order to get his version of events, especially when you consider the basis of this complaint is the word of Mr. Atkins and Mr. Warner, the complainant, against that of Councillor Hussain, and Mr. Beglin himself has said he cannot reconcile the two accounts. So in those circumstances, it is clearly reasonable that anybody looking at this and looking to make a determination and findings of fact and findings of misconduct, that you would look to find any independent evidence that could shed light on what actually happened in respect to these different allegations. I also note in my letter that I comment on the relevance of Paul Walker as a witness, which is that he was present during the fun day, which is referred to in the allegations about Councillor Hussain's relationship with David Atkins. So again, within that letter, I made very clear that these were two witnesses that Councillor Hussain offered to Mr. Beglin at the time of his interview in February, and yet Mr. Beglin decided not to interview them, which is why we brought them here today to ask them questions so that they can present their evidence to the committee, because we think they have something of value to add to these, to shed light on what actually happened. I think, as I said, that this is a case of pitting one version of, without trying to find any independent evidence, it's always going to, our main concern about the investigation and about this is that Mr. Beglin has decided that because Mr. Atkins and Mr. Warner corroborate each other, that is enough to suggest that Councillor Hussain and so in terms of fact finding in preparing this report and making independent evidence, I will talk about this going through each of the acts that has been alleged, and that the report doesn't really go into sufficient detail about what happened and about how each allegation actually amounts to misconduct. You look at the facts and make findings that generally, it doesn't actually allow for those two separate stages. And that distinction is important, that says the facts that essentially act that on balance of probabilities count is a finding of misconduct without actually explaining how those. What I also wanted to mention, and I'd hoped that we could have dealt with this, so I didn't have to expand on it now, but I think there are concerns that it's completely reasonable, and it clearly sets out in the procedures that the monitoring officer there, that option wasn't considered, the option of informal resolution, whether. But also whether any further information was actually needed, whether And having seen the correspondence to Councillor Sain about that when the complaint was initially made, no opportunity was to provide his version of events at that initial stage. So as potentially to avoid this, not only cause for your time voided, had more proactive steps been taken from the beginning to actually identify, underlying this case, what actually needs to be determined, you know. And I think as the complaint has continued, again, there was the option of summary resolution once Mr. Bann analysed his complaint. And again, the monitoring officer decided not to take that option. We don't it actually, well, at least a month before it was planned to be arranged and a month before the final was made, which suggests that even if we had made our comments, this hearing, why was it considered necessary? Especially when you look at the wider concerns of the evidence in the report, which is effectively relying on clearly partial evidence of two people that are supporting each other and at the time comments on this evening. So those are concerns generally about how this complaint has been dealt with. I do think it has a bearing generally on this complaint. Before I go on to looking into the allegations, no actual background is provided on who the players are, what is their role, what were the circumstances surrounding how they worked together, who they were with us in the draft report, and no attempt was made in the final report to comment. And it's a shame that the report didn't think it. He's also a practicing Muslim and has religious obligations in terms of religion, but none of this is this background information, whilst it might seem trivial. I would like to call several witnesses just to provide a bit more background information. Because first of all, I'd like to call Tariq Hussain, if the chair is happy for me to do so.
Yes,
thank you. Good evening.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just for you to provide a bit of background information. So can you tell an occupation?
Okay. My name is Tariq Hussain. I'm a retired police officer from Staffordshire Police, retired in 2015. Currently I'm a chairman of Oxford Street Mosque, which is also part of the community centre. I'm currently self-employed.
And so, sorry, you say you're currently the chair of the Oxford Street Community Centre and Mosque?
That's correct.
Yeah. And how long have you been in that role for?
Since 2017.
And did you have a role before then at the mosque and community centre?
No.
Okay. And do you know if Councillor Sain uses the mosque?
He does use the mosque, yes, but he's not a member.
And does he have any other role at the mosque or the community centre?
No.
No. Does he have any decision-making powers at the community centre?
No.
Can you provide us with a bit of a background detail to the meeting with fans that occurred in 2018?
Yeah, definitely. 2018, whilst I was refurbishing the mosque, we spent over around about £150,000. All the toilet blocks were basically not fit for use. The building itself wasn't watertight, so we had a lot of work done during that period, and it's completed mid last year. FAMS, I can't remember how it came about, but I had a meeting with them, and I subsequently invited Councillor Hussain.
And why did you invite him?
Basically, he's a local councillor. I just wanted to know whether he knew them, and just to get his opinion, really, to see what he thinks of them.
And did you ask for his opinion on issues?
No.
Okay. So can you remember what the meeting was about with FAMS?
Yeah. Basically, they wanted to hire our facility to run some classes. I think it was ESOL classes, some computer classes. At that particular time, our premises were not fit for purpose. As I said, the toilet blocks were all being refurbished, especially the outside ones. On the mosque side, obviously, we won't allow them to use them anyway because of congregation.
And so, when did they want to start? I mean, what did they say to you about their intended use of the facilities, either
the fact I didn't like about farms was they wanted to use the facility, and if the course was successful, they would pay us at the end, which I found a bit strange. What they were saying was that some learners sign up, and then after that 2-3 weeks fail to turn up, which means they don't get paid for the course. So I wasn't happy with that. So I said to them basically that I would take it to our committee and let them decide. In actual fact, I was the one who made the decision to say we weren't going to take them on.
Did they mention whether they were looking at any other locations in the area?
I know they had been at Princess Resource Centre and they've declined them. I wasn't aware of any other community centres that they've been to.
And do you remember what Councillor Thames' role was during that meeting? Whether he made any comments or did he have any discussions with fans whilst you were there?
Not whilst I was there, no.
Okay.
It was like general conversations, but nothing, you know, to do with our building or anything like that.
Okay. And just a bit of background information then about kind of what you know of Councillor Hussain. Mm-hmm. How long have you known him for?
Really, since 2017, when I started work at the mosque, you know, after the prayers and stuff, he'd come and see what I was doing, what we were doing there, and I just started talking to him. And during his campaign, for his elections in the area.
And so, how would you describe your relationship with him?
Just a normal relationship, not a friend of mine. I'm not affiliated to any political parties either, so you know I'm not here to represent Labour Party or Liberal or any other party. He's a good guy, hard-working guy. He's done a lot for the community, not just in the Uxbridge area, but Stapen Hill, road repairs, etc. He's probably done more than any other councillor that I know of.
And just in terms of Queen Street Community Centre. Just going back to the fans meeting, do you remember whether Councillor Thain said during that meeting with the fans representatives, whether Councillor Thain said you should use Oxford Street Community Centre?
Definitely not. Like I say, our community centre wasn't even fit for use at that time.
Okay.
We completed all the work mid last year.
So, just to go back then to Queen Street Community Centre, what do you know of the community centre?
I've been to Queen Street Community Centre before. I applied to become a member, but my application was rejected.
Do you know why it was rejected?
I think something to do with I didn't have interest in the area, despite the fact opposite the community centre I've got a block of flats there. I've got numerous properties in that area. I grew up in that area. I also attended the school in Clarence Street. I've got various business premises in Uxbridge Street, Hungsley Road.
Why do you think your application was rejected?
Possibly the people who were running it felt threatened, if I'm being honest.
Why do you think that?
The community centre itself sits in a very diverse community, but the service it provides doesn't reflect that. One of my reasons was it's because I wanted to open it up to everybody else, like we've done with our mosque. We run homeless kitchens from our mosque, and our clientele is mainly non-Muslims.
Okay, and what's your general impression of the people that run the community centre?
I don't really rate them, if I'm being honest with you. I think it's one particular political party, running the show there, and it's friends and family. Apart from the two councillors who have been appointed by the council to represent the community centre, I don't see there's any independent people there.
Do you have any other comments on to make?
Only that Councillor Hussain is a very humble and honest guy. And I think this has been dragging on for a very, very long time. If this had been a murder investigation, it would have been completed by now and dealt with. I think he's suffered enough as it is. And that's all.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hussain. have any other questions to ask. I don't know whether members of the committee or Mr. Beglin.
Mr. Beglin now has the opportunity to ask questions of the witness if he wishes.
Mr. Sain, just a couple of questions. In relation to the FAMS meeting that you've discussed, were any notes taken of that meeting that you kept hold of?
No, sir.
And it's a while ago. I mean, you have no reason to recollect with any specificity what was said during that discussion, do you?
My memory is pretty good, sir, and I know what was discussed.
Well, other members will know about their own memories. I know about my memory. I think I probably struggled to tell you in detail a conversation I had a year ago that wasn't recorded. But there's nothing recorded.
Nothing, but my meeting was purely for the hire of the community centre, and that was it.
Yeah, thank you. Were you with the councillor for the entirety of that meeting?
That's correct.
You say you were. You can recollect that.
100%, yes.
In relation to the application that you made to the Queen Street Community Centre, have you taken that up with them in writing? Any complaint that you've got about the way your application was dealt with?
No, to be honest with you, I didn't want to waste any more of my time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think
any committee members now would like to ask the witness a question? Councillor Fletcher.
Yeah, I'm just interested to hear you make a definite statement that you don't have a lot of time from them, having already said that you'd had an application to join the community centre turned down. Could that be the reason that you had no time for them?
That's correct.
Pardon?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Councillor Florence Duke.
Yeah, just an observation or note. I'm a retired police officer as well, and I would argue that we've got a good memory because we're used to recalling facts for evidence. So I think the fact that you didn't contemporaneously record a conversation from way back doesn't necessarily mean that you won't remember it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'd now like to call Councillor Walker, if I may. Hi, Councillor Walker. Could you confirm what your current occupation is and your role on the council?
Yes. My current occupation, I'm a railway engineer. I'm the councillor for the Shrobnal Ward.
And how long have you been a councillor for?
God, good question. 2017, I think I was elected.
And how do you know Councillor Hussain?
I've known Councillor Hussain since 2014 through contacts that I believe, if my memory serves me right, Councillor Hussain was put in touch with ourselves from somebody over in Derby that attended an event over there, and also I'm chair of the Staffordshire Trades Council, and I think Councillor Hussain was looking for some support from the trade unions in the area through various activities in the community, and the people he met in Derby put them in touch with myself in 2014.
Okay, so you've known him quite a long time.
Yes.
How do you describe Councillor Hussain?
I couldn't disagree from what's just been said. He's an extremely humble man. He's very quiet, very honest, very gentleman. Okay. Family, very family orientated.
And how would you describe his work in terms of his role as a councillor? And his role in the community?
I think he does a tremendous job in the community, not just for East Staffordshire Borough, but also his role as a county councillor.
Okay. What do you know of Queen Street Community Centre and the people that run it?
We, not through council business, but through East Staffordshire Trades Council, we've held several events down at Queen Street Community Centre in the past. That's how I know of Queen Street. I don't particularly know many people who are associated with the board. The only person I do know is David Atkins.
And what do you know of David Atkins?
I know he was the centre manager. That's about as much as I do know of him. But I do know every time that I've been in Queen Street where I've met Saeed there, because both Saeed and myself provided a certain amount of equipment for Queen Street. Saeed put some money together through his county council funding he received. I put some money into the scheme that he got running through the CCF funding. I think that in total it came to over £2,000. I can't remember the precise amount, which provided the whiteboard that they have, one of these fancy whiteboards, an overhead projector and various other pieces of equipment. But why I was in Queen Street Community Centre, David Atkins and Saeed always seemed to get along quite amicably.
With regards to one of the allegations that have been made against Councillor Sain, David Atkins has referred to Fun Day that was held outside the Queen Street Community Centre. I understand you were at that Fun Day event, is that right?
I wasn't actually at the Fun Day. We'd hired a room at the end of the building because there was some taxi drivers that got in touch with us who showed or expressed an interest in becoming or joining a trade union. So we was there with East Ash Trades Council. That's why I was there on that day.
Okay. And can you describe what happened on that Fun Day? Did you see either Councillor Sain, David Atkins, or Hugh Warner?
All three was there present on the day. I don't particularly know Hugh Warner. I can point him out in the room. I don't know him as an individual. But David Atkins was certainly there because he was showed us to the room, showed us to the drinks and things that we'd sort of paid for. But I didn't actually see the event that's referred to, but what I do know is that David Atkins commented to both myself and the Secretary of the Trades Council, who was also on site, that his words were that Councillor Sain wasn't particularly happy that there's loud music playing because there's a lot of taxi drivers living in this area. But that was as far as it went. There was no. He didn't seem animated. He just made reference to Councillor Sain not being particularly happy because there was this loud music playing.
Okay. Do you have any comments to make generally? Do you have any?
Not in such. It's only the I've met Councillor Sain in Queen Street Community on several occasions. I met him, and mostly one thing Saeed does is run late now and again. And I was waiting for him in Queen Street Community Centre, and I know for a fact that it was commented that Councillor Sain had asked David Atkins to print a letter off for him, and because he couldn't format it on his computer, so he'd sent it through to David Atkins to see if he could format it and print it off. But at no time was there any suggestion that there was mass printing going on. This is just the odd A4 letter that was being printed, because Saeed's was struggling with his laptop, his computer work.
And just one final question. Have you yourself heard of any complaints about or from Community Centre staff about how things are managed there and how it operates?
There's several allegations being thrown around regarding Queen Street, yes. But that's my understanding is that's under investigation. And
I'm sorry, the allegations about Queen Street operation is not relevant to this case. We're here to discuss Councillor Hussein and not the Queen Street operation in that context.
I'd say that the information is relevant in that it does go to how the response of the allegations was dealt with internally in the Queen Street Community Centre initially in Councillor Hussein's case, and therefore are there other, this is background information on how internal procedures are.
Well, there's some background information certainly to obtain a picture of your view, but as you said at the beginning, it's one word against another. And now we have someone else's opinion of Queen Street, which they're very entitled to, against someone else's. So I'm just bearing in mind of the time and trying to move it along if we can.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Councillor Walker, I think that's everything I need for now, so I'll return it back to the Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Beglin, do you have any questions?
No, Chair, thank you.
Committee members, do you have any questions? No, thank you.
Okay.
Councillor Fletcher, do you now want to ask Mr. Warner or Adkins any questions?
I apologise. I also wanted to ask Councillor Hussain some questions, if I may.
Yep.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Councillor Hussain, we've already, as your legal representatives, I've already put our submissions across generally in terms of your version of events that are covered in our detailed response in the 11th of November letter. So I'm not going to ask you too many detailed questions about the allegations themselves, but I just want to know generally what your view, how would you describe, before these allegations were made, how would you describe your relationship with both Hugh Warner and David Adkins?
First of all, I've had some various commitments and so that's why I couldn't attend with so many meetings out of 16 I attended four. And I ideally try to give my apologies wherever it's possible. For example, on 16th of June or some a date specific mentioned there. There was the full council meeting on Monday. Both myself and our councillor Chowdhury couldn't attend the meeting in the Queen Street Community Centre. We have to be here. So apology was given every time. And also I would like to promote to the Queen Street Community Centre like group activities from Russians dance club to Polish moms and from social supports, and also try to do public information to support the youth club. I also... we also once brought our police and crime commissioner to the Queen Street Community Centres. We did the event to show him down to the youth club and put forward the case of future fundings and everything. Plus, through my own fundings and time, trying to get along to get betterment of this community centre and give various equipment. But I always try to get the advice from David Adkins, and I believe, since he knows the center very well and how he does it, and we have, at that time, he advised me very rightly, and we applied through things, and so many findings came in and that way.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain. I've just got two simple questions I want to ask. One is, Would you have described Mr. Atkins as your friend before these allegations were made?
I would say we have a very good relation. I have never had any fallout or anything at all with him before. And is anything going on? And he would like to not only this hiring the room or something. One of his motto was to, you know, they make sure this center, which I agree as well, center should be contributing to this diverse community where more than 42 different languages are spoken. And one of his encouragement was to
get more people engaged in the community center, hence comes to get the diverse people to recruit as members. I can recall one of the members was from Romania, two members from Romanian community, they applied, two from Sri Lankan community, they're from religion from Hindu and Romanians from there, not Muslim only. And one of the Romanian members who was murdered a few weeks ago. It is also his application was turned down. It is a shame actually. And also Muslim community. When it's a Muslim community, this is a very very ethnically diverse area. So his encouragement was to get more people in there. And one of David's things that people are not interested in the community center. That's what I try to get myself involved. And he himself gave me the form to recruit the members.
Okay. So just based on what you said before, that before the allegations, you did consider to have a good working relationship with Mr. Atkins.
I do, yes. Okay. And if I may, I know that an evening is very difficult for me because I got to look after my three young children as well. And also I got some other commitments in the elections and campaign. I'm also local black and minority ethnic officer, so my main meetings sometimes in the evening. So I try to give my time in the daytime or sometimes whenever possible, I can go there and try to do these things.
Thank you, Councillor Sain. So the last question I want to ask you is, how do you feel now, and knowing the allegations that have been made against you, how does that make you feel?
I am very sad to see these things, because one of the obvious things on these allegations, they use my religion as a target. The Muslims, Muslims and Muslims. This is, if my name is like John Edward or something else, then my religion shouldn't be an issue, that's why. This is my main target. Whatever happens this time, I don't mind. But when people try to use this one as Muslim issues, I don't feel really, really comfortable on these things. And the trying to helping people and putting these things. And for example, the Uxbridge Street Community Centers, they are asking me that I was lobbying and I was trying to give the business to the Uxbridge Street Community Center. And as I recall, I'm not part of the Uxbridge Street Community Center as a committee member or anything. But all that moment, the Uxbridge Street ones under totally everything was unused because they were doing the refurbishing work and things like that. But still, I've been accused of that. I have been actively asking to give the divert the business from Queen's Community Center to the Uxbridge Street Center. And I just feel gobsmacked. And also, there are so many good things I would wish to do with David, and he knows it as well. One of the things that we'd like to do is plant trees in my constituency, where every single citizen of the constituency should be able to plant the tree to make the air quality good. And also, I was instrumental to set up the memorial garden in front of the Queen Street Community Center. I worked hand in hand to clean the grasses as well. And I, from my CCF funding, in front of the Queen Street Community Center, I donated the memorable benches as well. So, and this whole thing, the whole good thing I did, and these allegations really put me off actually, and I'm really frustrated.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain.
Chair, as you've heard, in terms of the substance of the four allegations that are contained in my report, Councillor Hussain's position this evening is that he's essentially resting on the written submissions that were already taken into account in my final report, and on that basis I don't propose to ask him any questions.
Committee members, would you like to ask any questions of Councillor Hussain? Councillor Metcalfe.
Yeah. Well, obviously, one of the bones of contention is printing volume, shall we say. You asked, allegedly, you had a lot of printing done. Do you have any idea where the substance of that suggestion comes from, if, as you're saying, you only had intermittent bits of printing?
For my own purposes, what I used, I paid the money. In one of the occasions, I think it was to promote the English language at courts in the from the center it would be done. And it was David himself was doing, and which was the course was running from the community center. This is nothing to do with my political benefit or anything. It was promoting the center itself, the Queenstead Community Center logo and the Unite, who is going this one, that's printing was there. And the volume, sheer volume of £1,000, I completely deny these things.
Councillor Florence Jeeves.
I know you're appointed as a trustee. Were you a willing appointee? How did that come about? Were you asked to do it, or did you volunteer in a way to do it?
I never expressed my interest or anything. It was the then time councillor Richard Governor, who proposed proposed to the full council for me to be the appointee of that council, that community center. I never lobbied, never told, and at the full council meeting, all the councillors voted for me to be in. It was totally out of blue.
And just leading on from the question you just had, in terms of the printing costs, have you got an audit trail of how you paid? I think there was mention of an £8 figure. Was that in cash, or would you have a recording of that?
I recall the small receipt. I was trying to find out that size of small receipt of printing I used for my own purposes, and I got one or two small receipts. And maximum times I paid them the cash, and they put in a small jar or something. The jar they put it. And I don't have any audit or anything, trail or anything, I have no idea about it.
If I can just note, we're not in our written response of the 11th of November, attached is a copy of one receipt that Councillor Hussain had retained, which is about using the printing and photocopying services. Again, we note that the final report doesn't actually acknowledge that evidence.
And in terms of the code of conduct so many times coming, I also explained it to Mr. Baglund's interview as well. I knowingly signed the code of conduct and gave it to the David Atkins at his office. So asking me not to sign the code of conduct is not true. I gave the signed copy and code of conduct eventually later.
And then just one final question. You've been accused of breaching sections 3.1 and 3.4 of our discipline code here, and that is that you must treat others with respect. How would you describe your relationship with David Atkins, particularly with section 3.4, which says that we shouldn't bully people and that we must treat people with respect?
Thank you. I had never ever fall out or anything before with David. Even my own Eid celebrations, I used to give him the card. I used to share my own cooked food from my home to David Atkins. And I used to take, the picture with various community of the celebration day. And we have really, really amicable, respectable relations between him. And he himself referred me so many times, he is my brother.
Okay. Councillor Fletcher.
Thank you. There's obviously a disparity, Councillor Hussain, between your version of events and Mr. Adkins' version of events. And we have in front of us, I think, 7 points. I'd like to briefly hint on each one, if I may. For instance, Mr. Atkins says, I can confirm that Councillor Hussain used the printer in the community centre on an almost weekly basis, and on occasion during political periods, 7 times per week. Is that true or is that not true?
Not true.
He goes on to say, there was absolutely and categorically never any payment for the printing services used, I think apart from the £8 that was acknowledged that you'd pay for something. So, is that true?
Whatever I have used for my own purposes, I paid my money from my own pocket. According to him, David, it will support the centre.
So what other purposes would you use the centre's printer for that you didn't pay?
David and his Unite Community was funding to the language course for the community centre. So I told David to get more and put it to the shop. In that painting, there was clearly a Christian community centre's logo in the advertisement. Christian community centre logo was the Unite.
Okay. Just to note that document is attached to my 11th of November letter. But I think my understanding of what Councillor Fain is saying is that when it was for the benefit of the community centre, his understanding was that he wasn't required to make a financial payment.
I think I understood his response. Thank you very much for explaining it to me. The next point I want to make is, he suggests that you often make his position more powerful and said that you would be sweeping away the bigots and racists of Anglesey Parish Council and that your people would be replacing every single one of them. Is there any truth in that?
I vehemently disagree with this. And myself...
No, you're not disagreeing with me.
I vehemently disagree with David Atkins, excuse me. And also,
this is completely wrong. Nothing to do. Parish Council is different.
Separate organization. Community Center is different organizations.
Okay. The next question. Did you say to him that you knew his landlord several occasions?
Never ever I said so. But as a councillor of this area, I know so many people who own the properties.
Did you ever print any political material at the community centre?
Whatever I printed, I paid it. I don't know whether it is political or not, but it's not directly related to the community centre. When I wanted to do some road works, I asked people to move the cars.
Okay, good. On the fun day at the Queen Street Community Centre, he is adamant that you switched the radio CD player off and said, and I quote him in an aggressive manner, that this is a Muslim area, my constituents are Muslim, and Sunday is their day of rest. Did you say that?
I find it very, very offensive, and this is very, very untrue. Because on the fun day itself, I took my own 6-year-old and paid £1 for the car riding and £1 for the bouncy castle. All I said that people, the music was too loud. All I said that there are so many people who work at late at night as the taxi drivers and also some disabled people who it will be good if we can put it a bit down.
Okay, and I think this is the final question.
And this is very, very disturbing to use my religion in this way.
All the way through, Mr. Atkins is actually saying he thinks you're mistaken on issues. And again, he says that he does not know where the forms came from that you used for people to apply to be on the Queen Street Community Centre Board. So where did you get the forms from?
He himself gave me the form. He himself gave me the form and I copied it.
Okay, thank you. Those are all the questions of Councillor Hussain.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
So now that in terms of Councillor Hussain's case. We've now heard three people comment on the allegations, and I'd now just like to briefly summarise.
Yes, I think first of all, though, Mr. Bedlam is to sum up, and then you.
Do we not get an opportunity to ask?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr.
I'm Adkins, sorry.
Mr.
I'm sorry, do carry on. Yes, Councillor Fletcher wanted to ask questions
Mr.
of
Atkins,
Mr. Atkins, if that's okay.
We have no issues with that.
I'm referring to the same papers that your detailed submissions to the seven questions that I've just referred to with Catherine A. Some of these are based on contemporaneous records that you've made. Obviously, the first one, I confirm that you use the printer on almost a weekly basis. I take it that's not based on, that's an overall feeling
yes.
you have?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Are you quite certain about that?
Yes.
And you stand by it?
Absolutely. All the statements that I provided, I stand by all of them. They were made contemporaneously at the time. The notes, I should add that I'm no longer employed by Queen Street Community Centre. I've actually moved on. I'm a legal officer with Staffordshire County Council. I stand by all those statements that I made at the time. They were correct when I made them. The notes that supported them are no longer there, so this is the only record we have. And yes, I most emphatically stand by those records, yes, and those statements.
Well, you said there was absolutely and categorically never any payment for the printing services used?
Excepting that one, I think there was a note in there, excepting that one payment for which we have a receipt.
And you claim that he said he would be sweeping away bigots and racists at Anglesey Parish Council, and that his people would be replacing every single one of them?
He did say that on one or two occasions, yes, and I think in reality that did happen.
And you are suggesting on several occasions that he asked you to keep things quiet and not let the people at the community centre know?
That is accurate, yes.
Can you give us some light as to where the forms came from that appear to have been filled in by the individual
yeah.
who wanted to be on the board?
Yes, certainly. There were several forms. One or more forms were defunct. They were no longer in use. One form may have been acquired from the office in error. If I did give out a form, it would be only one form or two or several forms. They would be original forms. They would not be photocopies. The ones I was shown were poorly made photocopies with sort of Tippex that had been over photocopied. So they were not clear. The clarity was very poor. So they were not original forms as we would use as a community centre to recruit new members or even new directors or trustees.
No more questions.
Thank you.
I have no questions of Mr. Warner.
Councillor Florence Dukes.
Can I ask why you felt the need to record conversations contemporaneously? Seems a very strange thing to do to me. What was the purpose behind it?
Okay. I didn't record full conversations. If there was something that bothered me or something that I thought, you know, in future might come back and bite me or come back and haunt us, I would make a note of it in my diary. So if anything to me sounded, look, this was maybe not wholly acceptable to me, sort of on a moral basis or whatever, then I would make a note of it so that I've got a record in my book with an accurate date and time of either a conversation or a pre-seed version of that conversation. These were things that differed from normal practice, so things that were a little bit unusual I would record. And that was for all people, not just for Councillor Hussain.
So clearly you've identified what is abnormal behaviour. I'm just wondering
yes.
why you took so long to report this. And additionally,
yeah.
another question is, are you not responsible for the resources that the centre uses? I mean, you've allowed, allegedly, Councillor Hussain to use all these facilities. What's your responsibility in that?
Yeah, I mean, my responsibility, that's accurate, yes, for those resources. We were always given the, I think it's in the report there, I think I stated it quite explicitly, that there was an indication or a suggestion that Councillor Hussein would make up the cost in whatever way at some point in the future. However, that didn't materialise. I had to make a decision, do we let this, the councillor, who was also a board director, use these resources or not. Now, if in my opinion at the time, if there was a promise that we would get these the sort of reimbursement back at a later stage against the net sort of benefit of whatever was being done at the time, then yes, possibly then it would have occurred. Yes.
Presumably, there's an audit trail of you estimate about £1,000 worth of extra printing costs, so that will be paper, that will be cartridges, that kind of thing. Where is that detail?
That isn't recorded. We don't record that. That was an estimation, and it was in response to the exact question that was asked of me at the time. But it seemed a fair assumption based on the commercial value, the commercial rate, and the commercial cost of photocopies. That would seem a very, very accurate, I would say, estimate of the cost involved, yeah.
And you've alleged that there was some sort of agreement that you would get reimbursement of these costs. Was that an agreement between just the two of you, or what?
No,
yeah.
The councillor assured me that in some way he would reimburse us for the cost of the products used, yes. But this reimbursement never came. In effect, it would have been a delayed payment.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Fletcher, did you want to ask Mr. Warner some questions? Yes.
Do you want to go through them as a list?
Yeah,
and ask them.
Okay. The first one, using the printer on
the World Week today. The charity operates on the basis of a board of trustees with staff. We've got financial regulations which govern how the board operates, because the trustees can't be involved in everything. And Mr. Atkins, as manager, had delegated authority up to £500, so he was entitled to take decisions on that without reference to me. So, and I wasn't aware of what was going on.
So you wouldn't be aware that there
would be no payment? No, Mr. Atkins did sort of comment to me that Councillor Sain was asking for copies to be done, and I would have said to him, well, he can't have them, you know, for free, even though he's a trustee, he can pay the same as anybody else would pay, because I mean, user groups, training companies come in and they do ask for photocopies, which they pay for.
Excuse me, Councillor Fletcher, could you put your microphone on, please? Thank you.
Queen Street Community Fun Day.
Yeah, I do recall that. I was at home when it was on, and I had a phone call at home from Mr. Atkins saying that Councillor Hussein had come to the event and turned the music off. And Mr. Atkins was asking me, what shall I do? And I said, well, they booked it for a fun day, turn the music back on, and I'll walk down. So I walked down and to see what was going on. And when I arrived, the event was taking place and the music was playing. And I did go over and had a speak to the gentleman who was running it, who's from Nottingham, and I just sort of inquired what was going on, and he said it was odd. Councillor Sain came over, he said that man rather than Councillor Sain, and switched the music off. So in that sense, I wasn't there at the time, but Mr. Atkins told me the music had been switched off, and the guy who was running it told me the music had been switched off.
Somewhere in the report, somewhere, it has been suggested that you have political motivation for not agreeing with some of the things that Councillor was saying, or the accusations made against?
I mean, it's not political at all. I mean, Queen Street is, I believe, the most successful community centre and community organisation in the town, and we've achieved that by being inclusive. We have people from all political parties on the Board of Trustees over the years. We've had Conservatives, Labour, Liberal Democrats, people who hate politicians. We've had people of all colours, all backgrounds, all religions and none. And it's because we're inclusive like that that we're as successful as we are. And so the suggestion that I'm sort of in some way being vindictive against him is just wrong. I've known him for quite a while. We were on Anglesey Parish Council together some years ago. And we served on there perfectly okay. He left, and I left some time later. And he came on the board nominated by the Borough Council. Had no problems with him at all until these events with BAMS started. That was sort of when things went wrong, if you like to put it like that.
Can you throw any light on the forms where people were applying for membership?
Membership forms are kept in a folder in the office, and there's plastic wallets in the back with the blanks in there. And the blanks went missing, so we didn't actually have any forms left at one stage, and we had to recreate them. So how they went missing and who took them, I've got no idea. I can only sort of observe what I found. And our memorandums and articles also went missing as well. We had to reprint them off the company's house website.
Thank you.